And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Right, so I want to know, is it BS or just life happening? You be the judge.
You've got to do the song.
Oh, like live
remix. Yeah, live remix it. Come on, you make me do it.
Hang on, is it BS? Okay, I'll
it's
give
gonna
it a
be
go.
Hard, there's too many buttons.
Oh, I'm doing everything over here. Okay, here we go.
Is it
BS
or just
life happening?
You be
How
the
come
judge.
You can do it? No dramas when
and
you do it.
And give us a ring. Turns out it's easier when I'm controlling the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, you do try.
Yeah. So, look, far be it from me to bring Harry Styles content to the table 2 days in a row.
Oh, go for it.
Of course, yesterday we were talking about the shoey gear.
Yes, and people voted on our Insta stories that it was gross, cringe,
yep.
Yuck. So, you were right.
And then later yesterday, Batuta Advocate came out with a bit of why are we making everyone do shoey's gear? And I said to you, look, we're topical. So, Harry, right. So what was two nights ago he played in Perth and people are wild. It's come out. People are wild. People are upset. People are disappointed.
Why?
Because it took a long time to get in.
Yeah, but it's a stadium show.
HBF Park. Played to a packed arena of around 30,000 screaming fans. However, the lead up to the show wasn't so enjoyable. Hundreds of fans complaining about the lines to get into the standing areas of the venue. Last week, ticket holders were warned that camping in line the night before the show was strictly prohibited, and anyone found queuing prior to 8 a.m. on the day of the event would be asked to move. Oh, no priority entry will be given to anyone camping outside the venue prior to event day, and fan-made early line systems will not be honoured. We're clearly setting a boundary there. Oh, but it appears many fans disregarded this warning. Oh, yes, they did. Multiple fan-made lines were emerging that morning in different areas around the venue before sunrise. There also appeared to be confusion about where ticket holders were actually meant to be lining up because they didn't wait to be told.
No, because come on, man. Like, you've been there. If one of your favourite bands ever was touring, it's been like 5 years, and you never know if they're going to come back, I would be the same. You've lined up for gigs early before.
Yeah, don't complain about it, though. If you're going to line up, don't then be like, oh, my God, what are you guys doing making me line up for 16 hours? What, you told me not to? No, I didn't listen. Of course I wasn't going to listen. How dare you?
Maybe they're complaining about the fact, like, hey, we want to get there first. We want to be front row, right? I'm really committed to this bit. But it would be nice to say general admin is going through gate 4, everyone, so that you know.
They don't want people to be lining up 2 days in advance. So if you tell them 2 days in advance that gate 4 is where it's happening, people are going to line up there. And then there's just going to be a lap of a line that wraps around like a snake.
No, but you can
like
say to them, you can have a boundary set and then just say gate 4 when you get in. Like, they must have been like lining up, and then at 8 a.m. They're like, where do we officially line up? You know what I mean? We're trying to be official here, but where's the official line?
From 8 o'clock, they were given places to line up.
Yeah.
So my point is, these people are wild because they've had to wait in line. Like, they're the first ever people to have to wait in line. And they're outraged because they were told not to line up early, and then they lined up early and they were angry about it. Come on, guys. People have been lining up for centuries. For thousands of years, lines have been around. Jesus had to wait in line.
Yeah.
You know? At the sandal shop, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
God, you're not the first people to line up. And that doesn't make a concert bad, and that doesn't make the people who organise the concert negligent in their job. Where's that cloud? I'm shaking my fist at you.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
You want a statue, Tom?
You've done 3,173 days, I think.
That's
here
right.
Here at K-Rock. Dan Andrews is getting one for 3,000 days as the Victorian Premier.
Mm-hmm.
You are stomping your foot tantrum style and saying, I deserve a statue, therefore.
No, I don't believe there's been any foot stomping.
Well, there's been some dancing around it. Let's just say that. And Lingy and I, we back you.
Thank you.
We'd be happy to see a statue here. But, you know, it's hard work. Not everyone. Even Lingy doesn't have a statue.
I know, that surprises
and
me.
And that is weird.
Yeah. And we find going directly to the council or to the Victorian government or anything like that's going to be too difficult. So
yeah, red tape.
Funny that. You don't have any statues, but I would imagine there's a couple of Lingy shrines floating around Geelong somewhere, you know, just
private shrines?
Yeah, that sort of basement attic-y kind of locks of hair, sort of candle gear.
It rubs its lotion on its skin.
Yeah. Anyway, please don't scare our next guest. Of course, she's the deputy director of the Geelong Gallery, and her name is Penny Whitehead. We've got her on the phone. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Morning. Now, hey, you'll be supportive of this idea because you are wonderful.
Always concerning.
We thought, look, all that red tape, you know, maybe if we call it art, Tom, we might be able to get a statue of you quicker.
So, Penny, what are your thoughts there? Is that a viable sort of path that we could take by sort of billing it as art?
Could be. There could be sculptors out there who would be willing to do this kind of thing. Whether it's our gig or not, possibly not. I don't, not to dismiss your contribution to the community. We could probably justify it. But it's a stretch.
It's a stretch.
Penny, that is the most beautifully polite way of saying no chance, Tom.
Thanks, but no thanks. Would it make any difference if I was nude?
Well, there could be an option there. Mm. Yes. Yeah, that's going back to the old times of David. Mm. I can see it.
It is very David.
We could rival the galleries of Italy in that way.
Yeah.
Penny, I was wondering if you could just do us one favour, though. You've got a magnificent exhibition coming up featuring Tom Moore, who's a sculptor. Maybe you could just mention it to him to say, you know, sure. We've got this person, maybe, any chance? Mm.
Yeah, and he's a glass sculptor, and he does hybridise animals and plants. So how he could hybridise you with what he would hybridise you with would be the question too.
Yeah.
Sort of like a centaur.
Part human, part
potato. Part human, part potato.
He does look amazing potatoes, actually.
We could decide whether we want the top half of you to be horse or the bottom half of you to be horse.
Potato.
Depends if I'm nude or not.
Yeah.
All right, Penny, look, I apologise for everything that's happened since you've got on the phone. So is that a no to an art sort of angle?
Look, I think I might have to say no, but thank you. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Penny, love your work as always. The GeelongGallery.org.au. Get on there, check out what's happening. Like you said, Lingy, the Tom Moore exhibition is starting this weekend. Go and check that out. But don't be going there thinking you're going to see anything Tom related.
Okay, Tom Lewis. Yeah.
Tom Lewis related.
Good luck, Tom.
Thanks, Ben. I might just send you an email. We'll revisit it. We'll circle back to it. Hey?
Tom, Lingy, and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
It's Wednesday.
Now.
Grab your popcorn, kids.
It's Tom, Lingy, and Luggies. I feel seen. On K-Rock and Action.
Yes, fresh off the BAFTAs, the cream is rising to the top. The awards season demands that I Feel Seen has the best of the best. It's Tom and Loggy who will be doing the acting. They're going to act out a scene from a movie. My job is to simply guess what that movie is. Their acting should be so supreme that I should be able to guess it easily. Play along while you're driving your car or listening at home. See if you can guess from this quality acting.
Now, the BAFTAs that happened earlier this week, BAFTAs, we're going to roll out the BAFTAs, BAFTRs. So, bad acting for the radio.
Oh, well worked.
Did you just think of that?
Yeah, I did.
Please don't waste your brain capacity on the script.
Do you know what I did make a mistake of doing is running to the toilet during that Genesis song, and now I'm just a little bit sort of, my breath's
come on,
a little
mate,
bit.
Bring it together. You're a professional. You do this for a living.
I don't want to hear excuses, Tommy. Just deliver the gold. Now, don't forget, at the end of the scene, you need to say...
And scene.
And that's how you know we've finished acting and returned to normal life.
Okay.
All right, over to you two.
Okay, here we go. The terminal is in a black vault lockdown. The only person allowed in the room has to pass through a series of security checks.
William Donlow.
The first is a voice print identification and a 6-digit access code.
Beep, 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 beep.
This only gets him into the outer room. Next, he has to pass a retinal scan.
Zoom, zoom.
And finally, the security measures are only deactivated by a double electronic key card, which we won't have.
Beep.
Now, inside the black vault, there are 3 systems operating whenever the technician is out of the room. The first is sound sensitive. Anything above a whisper sets it off. The second system detects any increase in temperature. Even the body heat of an unauthorized person in the room will trigger it if the temperature rises just a single degree. Now, that temperature is controlled by the air conditioning coming in through an overhead duct 30 feet above the floor. That vent is guarded by a laser net. The third one is on the floor and is pressure sensitive. The slightest increase in weight will trigger the alarm, and in any one of these systems, if set off, will activate an automatic lockdown. Now, believe me when I tell you, gentlemen, all 3 systems are state-of-the-art.
Bang, bang, bang.
And scene.
I've got one word for you both. Diva. Did Diva Tom just demand that he basically get a monologue? And your contribution was a combination of beep, 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 zoom.
No. I told him. I said, this is you. I want to see it. Give the people what they want.
It was an outstanding Tom Cruise.
Thank you. It was great. The accent you committed and then realised I've got a whole script to get through and you kept up with it, Tom.
Thank you.
And that makes it Mission Impossible.
Yes. Well done. We'll give you this and then we'll have a lesson.
In any one of these systems, if set off, will activate an automatic lockdown. Now, believe me when I tell you, gentlemen, all 3 systems are state of the art.
Sound just like it.
Exactly the same. Well done, Log, yay! With your
well
sound
done.
Effects.
Good guess. Well picked. I've never seen that movie, so.
Oh, goodness gracious me. No Top Gun and no Mission Impossible.
No.
Get a life.
I've seen the original Top Gun. That's all I need to see.
It's sad, isn't it?
Expand your horizons, Tom.
Do you know why I wanted Loggy to be Tom Cruise? Because she's got the teeth.
And he's got the weird night, you know what?
Everyone's a winner. I Feel Seen returns next week.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on K-Rock 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom Lingy and Loggy Gold.
I want to take you back, all the way back to late January. Dodsy got the ironing board out to iron on the kids' school logos ahead of the school year. Fast forward almost a month and the ironing board was still sitting out there. Now, Dodsy's claim was, it's fantastic. It's an extra bench space, extra shelf type setup. I can use it for prayer. I can pop that there and I can dump that there. It's fantastic. My argument is, you get an ironing board out, you iron something, you fold it up, you pop it away.
Yeah.
Now, I am not surprised by what happened. I had a bet in my own head saying that that board will still be out by the end of February. Mm. I lost that bet purely because I made the mistake of voicing that bet to Dodsy.
Couldn't help yourself.
Nah, and in spite of me, she packed it up about 2 days ago. But it was still out for about a month.
Yeah.
Which is far, far too long, unless you're crazy like you are, Loggy, and you and Dodsy both subscribe to the theory of extra shelf space is great using an ironing board.
I want to be a better person, but I'm not. I've left my ironing board out for that exact reason before. Tom, you're with Lingy. Let's see what people are saying. Faith in Grovedale, start this off for us. How long should an ironing board be left out?
Well, sorry to Dodsy, but I'm on Lingy's side. I iron a couple of times a week for ladies, and I put my ironing board away every time.
Brilliant.
You're a star, Faith.
I can get it out and put it away a couple of times a week, but it goes back where it came from and it gets finished with it.
Well done, you, because I never would.
And where do you keep your keys and stuff? Do you have a sideboard or some sort of little table near the front door?
No, I've got a hook on the wall, but at my house, when you get something out, you put it back where you got it from straight away. Otherwise, I'm on your tail.
Yeah.
Faith, outstanding. Right. I'll get you and Dodsy together for a coffee at some stage. Susan from Mount Dunead, are you with Faith and me and Tom, or are you with these other crazies?
I'm a crazy.
Yeah, good.
Because I believe it's for washing, right? So what better thing to fold your washing and put on
in little piles ready to put away. But not only that, why did she have to put it away? If it was sitting there, why couldn't you put it away?
Great question, Susan.
One word, Susan, stubbornness.
I also have my suspicions, Susan, given Dodsy's sort of lack of experience with the ironing board, that maybe she wasn't sure how to put it away. She was taking her time working out the mechanics. It's quite tricky, that little
Dodsy,
trigger
feel
underneath.
Feel free to call if you're listening with the right of reply.
Maddie's in Ocean Grove. Maddie, are you on board with leaving your ironing board up?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I've only got a small space, so mine goes away as soon as I'm finished using it, because I don't have the space for the extra bench space. But also, if you're using it as a shelf, what if the things you're using it for are dirty and it like gets stained onto the ironing board cover, and then when you actually go to use it, you're actually burning those stains onto the clean shirts you're ironing?
Great question, Maddie. Great question.
You're just coming up with situations that aren't real now, Maddie, for Lingy to go home with and have extra ammo.
How many clean shirts have you ironed, dirty?
Not a lot, I'll admit. Amy from Corio, wrap this one up for us. With the ironing board, do you have to put it away as soon as you use it, or can you leave it out for shelf space?
I definitely have to put it away straight away.
Yes, Amy.
Great.
This has been great.
Nothing would do my head in any more than leaving it out.
Even if it's tucked away in the laundry, Amy?
Oh, no, got to be put away straight away.
Yeah. Brilliant. So many sane and sensible people in this world. Appreciate it so
it's
much.
It's a relaxed environment, isn't it?
Have you started to like look inside yourself and just see where your improvements
can
come
from? Oh, mate, I hate myself every day of the week.
Unrelated, though.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. You've been listening to the podcast.
Thanks for that.
And hear the show weekdays from 6 a.m. only on K-Rock 955.